Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday, June 29th edition of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means National Research Subcommittee. Today we have two bills to hear, House Bill 2406 relating to land use and Senate Bill 1189 relating to enforcement procedures for water quality violations. Exercising the prerogatives of the chair, we will have Senate Bill 1189 up first. Mr. Rocco, can you orient us to that bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Committee members, if you recall, we heard this bill on May 24th. Basically, it establishes an alternative enforcement pathway for companies or cities entering into consent orders with the Department of Environmental Quality. The result of this bill is a third-party lawsuit shield that is provided through allowing the public early involvement in the proposed enforcement action. At the subcommittee hearing on May 24th, direction was provided to work out some arrangement on proposed amendments on a procedure to use keys to pay for the cost of this program.
Mm-hmm.
And so before you have some amendments, the dash A3 amendments that do several things. They allow the EQC to establish rules, and in fact, in the amendments, the fee amount has been established for the 9901 biennium in the amount of it's a two-tier fee, $2,000 for entering into the process, and a refundable hearing fee of $3,650. If the enforcement action does not go to a hearing, that $3,650 is refundable to the person submitting the request. And the amendments go on to Section 5 to direct the department to keep a record of the cost and report to back to the next legislative assembly in order to more accurately reflect the fee relationship to the cost of the program. Since this is a new program and the department is not sure what the cost would be, so this is an attempt just to get started on the program and see what the actual costs are, what the actual level of activity is in the area.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. I'd like to call to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1189. And I would like to call forward the two individuals that have signed up for the public testimony portion of the bill, and that would be Mr. Ledger from AOI and Mr. Tiffany from League of Oregon City. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Can you address the nature of the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the amendments look fine to us. I'm John Ledger with AOI. I think the amount of money looks reasonable, and I especially appreciate the new section that requires some type of accounting or tracking of this, because we really don't know how much it will cost for anybody. So these are perfectly acceptable to AOI, and we thank Mr. Rocco and the committee for working on these and coming up with what we see as a good solution.
Mr. Tiffany.
Mr. Chair, my name is Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities, and I would just echo Mr. Ledger's comments. We are very happy with the amendment. The issue was funding the provisions of the show adequately, and we think you can do that, and the League is supportive of the A3 amendment.
Okay, are there any questions for the panel from the committee? Yeah. Senator George, this is a bill that was sponsored originally by yourself and Senator Tarnow. Do you have anything that you want to address in the bill?
No, I think the amendments are really a good addition because I think we were all shocked when we saw the fiscal on this thing and said, whoa, you know, we didn't anticipate anything quite like that. And with the record-keeping aspect being able to truly analyze the effect of what this will do when we put it out on screen or down on the road, it will be interesting. But I think it's necessary to be able to allow a provision, and I have a pity that experience some of those drafts, that it might be a little bit more balanced. So I think it ends up looking pretty good.
Thank you, Senator. Does the agency have anything that they want to bring to the fore at this point?
No.
Okay. Is there any other question here present that wishes to testify on the bill? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're in public session.
Representative.
Do we have any indication from the Governor's office on this meeting?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mesler, we have no indication one way or the other, although the DEQ does, I believe, support or at least tolerate the bill.
Seeing neutral body language from the Department of Environmental Quality's staff. There are no strenuous objections. Any further comments? Seeing and hearing none. Closed on the public hearing.
Neutral body language?
Yes, that's absolutely.
Is that an Italian concept?
Actually, it is, but usually that's after the fact.
I see. That's like my personality. No, he said neutral, Al. He didn't say dull.
In the line.
Okay. The reason we did this first was because Senator Metzger wanted to offer testimony.
His car's here, but he's not.
Actually, he's down in the other hearing room.
Oh. Is he coming down?
He said he was. He said he was coming right down.
Is proceeding reopened?
We can do that. Yes, Mr. Rocco.
Mr. Chair, before you do that, I would recommend that we change, add an additional amendment to provide the other funds expenditure limitation. As Senator George pointed out, there was a fiscal impact at one time of general fund, and now that's been revised down to approximately $241,000 of other funds. Revenues just to reflect the receipt of the fee revenues from this process, and it would involve the addition of one FTE that the agency would incorporate in their budget once they start getting that revenue.
So, Mr. Rocco, would that be a conceptual amendment?
Yes.
To increase the limitation and add an FTE as the revenue available?
That's correct.
Everybody understand? We'll recap that when we come back into work session, or go into work session. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. I'm going to open the public hearing on the other bill before us today, and that is House Bill 2406. Mr. Rocco, can you bring us for that bill?
Chair, House Bill 2406, the committee has heard previously when the Department of Land and Conservation Development budget was before the committee. This bill has been passed by the House already, and then it was sent to the Senate Water and Lands Committee with a two-pass recommendation and referred to Ways and Means. If you recall, in the deliberations on the Department of Land Conservation and Development budget, there was language included in that budget to in a budget note that would take $200,000 of the regional problem solving grant money allocated to the agency and put it in the emergency fund as a special purpose appropriation, and with direction to the department to return to the emergency board in November 99 with a work plan, including a financing plan on how to develop and pay for the mapping work associated with House Bill 2406. The amendments you have before you are the amendments agreed to basically deleting the language of the original bill, except for maintaining the continuation, extension of a regional problem program for 2 years, or I believe 2 years, until 2003, and the Section 3 of the draft amendment to Dash D6 discussed the mapping computerized database and the mapping program that is being required under the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Any questions from the committee, Mr. Rocco? Senator, please.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just have a concern in sub B of Section 3, 1B, requiring the department shall contract with a private entity to conduct the inventory, and I just want to raise a concern that I would think that this would be somewhat counterproductive in the sense that you have various state agencies with pieces of this puzzle, and by contracting with a private entity, you're simply going to be playing catch-up for a long time to have somebody get up to speed with information that probably exists in bits and pieces in several agencies.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, I think your point is well made, because that's exactly why the amendments were developed, basically replacing, deleting that entire section and directing the department to work in conjunction with local governments and other state agencies to develop this computerized database, recognizing the fact that other agencies have done some of that work previously.
And Mr. Rocco, who was the, who's the author of the B60?
I believe it's an agreement between Thousand Sons of Oregon and the Department of Defense Conservation Development.
Senator George.
I think one of the reasons that probably that initial part was in there is the last time the state of Oregon got into the computer business, it ran a total up of $123.9 million, and we didn't buy much. So the idea that private seems to be able to provide that kind of computer technology, although we do have agencies such as Fire Marshal who have become very proficient at doing data processing. So hopefully we'll be able to complete this without some Secretary of State audit having to be conducted, just how much we spent on it.
Actually, also, Polk County has been pioneering with some GIS systems.
And I've heard that.
Yeah. Apparently, they have a state-of-the-art test system, so maybe we can learn a little from the local government as well.
Mm-hmm. Any further? A representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a comment, and maybe Ken can expand on a little bit. But I'm beginning to become more and more concerned that as we talk about regional problem solving and community solutions teams and these kind of things, and we're trying to budget more and more funding, not so much for this department, because they are a small department, but especially when we're talking about huge departments such as DEQ and ODOT, is this a new concept? It seems to me that this is something that they should be doing, have been doing forever. And why all of a sudden are we being asked to provide reserve extra funds to accommodate this? But again, particularly in those bigger departments and bigger budgets, it would seem to me that these should be issues that they should have been dealing with for several years. And yet all of a sudden when we're trying to focus in on that, some of them are coming back and asking for considerable more money to do it.
Mr. Chair, I believe it's more of a formalization of a process that agencies have done independent of one another. It's just formalizing the interconnectedness of the agencies to coordinate their activities to take care of problems that spread across agency boundaries.
Oh, Mr. Chair. If that's the case, then why do they need extra money for that?
I believe in some cases it's because they're expanding the program and adding the coordination function to it. In the past, it was that one agency would informally try to do this, and this is just a formal process that where there'll be steps involved in getting agencies together along with local community people.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm just sorting through this stuff. Trying to challenge you, Mr. Rocco, but it seems to me there ought to be some cost savings by coordinating this, and some travel savings and coordination and time savings. And I just think we need to be very careful as we adopt these budgets that we are getting some efficiency out of these processes. I don't disagree with the process. I think it's a great way to approach it, and it helps community up front and know exactly what they're dealing with, and should give us a much clearer direction on how to work through the problems. But I'm just concerned about the funding packages.
Senator George.
Could I answer that a little bit? During the interim, of course, I chaired the NASA Water and Land Use Committee, and one of the things we were looking at was farmland loss. One of the fascinating things is almost all the data I had to go to the counties and get even stormwater conservation or local planning. And it really kind of shocked me, because my first thought was, well, I'm going to go to our GIS people. I'm going to go to all of these satellite technology folks, and I'm going to be able to achieve this data. What I found out was that it was not there. And that began to worry me because I found out a lot of the counties, like particularly Multnomah County, even though they maintain a soil conservation district and is housed actually in downtown practically, what I found out was a lot of the data is disappearing. I mean, there was some really fantastic research done on soil quality and this sort of stuff in the past. And this data is just kind of disappearing. People say, yeah, I remember we had that, such as these right here, the colorized maps that show the quality of the soil. Many of the counties now, these have disappeared. And you think this would cost us hundreds of millions of dollars to duplicate this, and we need to preserve it. And so the hope is that out of this process, we would end up with, you know, repository of all of that kind of data that might in fact be then available to counties, because right now the counties are ahead of us is what I discovered.
Yeah, I think the other problem, Senator George, is that digitizing the information that was in a hand file or a hand retrieval system is prohibitively expensive. So you've got, it's like going from the old handwritten county records to the microfiche. Well, nobody, you know, they did some of that earlier work and put stuff on microfiche. But now if you look for the computerized records, that would be the third generation, they start at a date. And below that date, they're back in the old microfiche records. So it's prohibitively expensive to have somebody go back and digitize all the records from the first day. I think we're running into some of the same stuff in data loss. It's fabulously expensive to have people go back and digitize all the mapping that was done, you know, from the beginning through the formation of the county right up to the present. So we are probably losing tremendous amounts of data. Senator Corcoran.
Well, Mr. Chair, first of all, some of the future maps of the farm use will probably have a lot of large churches on it, but the point I wanted to make was getting back to Representative Messerly, the issue of the cost savings with the regional problem solving. That was the issue you were talking about, wasn't it? I think that there are hidden benefits to that to some degree on the local government level that we're not really factoring in. It becomes prohibitively expensive for, you know, a Curry County that has all their general fund is basically O&C money to be able to engage in these kinds of land use, you know, problem solving strategies without assistance from the state. I think, you know, it's sort of like the state school board. I mean, we're becoming the financer of that to some degree. But I think there are, even though we're shelling out money on the state level, I think that local governments do, in fact, get the benefit of that. And it's, I think it's hard to determine how that cost savings enters into the books. So I just want to make that pitch for the local government, because we're really squeezing the hell out of them in so many ways. You know, Douglas County, same way. Lane County, you know, has other sources of income, but they're not doing, you know, as well as it could be either in some of these disputes. So I just think that the regional problem solving, I mean, it answers the big question. I mean, the genesis of it in 95 was, you know, that LCDC was making decisions from Salem that were inappropriate for local folks. So I think the thought process is right, that when you balance the books at the end of the day, it gets pretty hard to do because you have all these, you know, these various budgets.
Senator, we're about to go to work session on this.
Are you?
Yeah. Senators and members, the only other thing I would mention is that I hope somebody's looking at the data points and the scale on these things, because we're creating digitized systems in dozens of different agencies. And I hope that that there is translatability and connectivity in terms of how the data flow could be used by different agencies and shared. One of the things we found is that scale is all messed up between federal and state agencies, and that the digitized data is not translatable.
And if I could just have the arithmetic piece together a little bit, since we're seeing the our fiscal, the effective expenditure revenues positions.
Okay.
Zero. But, you know, in the comments, it says there's $600,000 for DLCB and 3.5 FTE, and then that we've already, you know, requested that.
The,
$100,000, you know, to mark our committee. If I could just get a little piece together.
Is this fiscal with reference only to the amendment?
Mr. Chair, the fiscal represents the amended version of the bill. the proposed amendment in Representative Cooney. It simply states that by continuing the regional problem solving program, the agency's budget has included those positions and the base grant funds of 595,000 position and those funds. And it also reflects the decision that the committee made to set aside $200,000 of those grant funds and direct the agency to report on how the amount of funding that's needed to do this mapping program and whether they can find additional resources from other state agencies to help with this project or not.
So the reason for the blank is that the primary provision is extending the sunset, which is already budget-related, and we've already done the budget items so far.
And there's also additional resources that are already accounted for in the DLCD base budget.
Thank you.
Mr.
Chair?
Maybe Mr. Benner needs to answer this. It says here that we would use the Natural Resources Conservation Service information to create this database. I'm concerned whether they are upgraded to the point where they are specific to the individual ownerships. When I served on the Solar Water District, that was not the case. And when we first started using that database for zoning, it was inaccurate when we tried to bring it down to boundary lines. So I'm interested whether that has been improved resource. I didn't know that they had done any more studies. And that, backing up to what Senator George had said earlier, there was a lot of money put out by counties, I think the federal government, to do that soil survey way back, 15 years ago or so. And I assume that's the same database they're working off of now.
Let's refer the question to Mr. Gunn. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dick Morris of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. The information that is referred to on these lines of the amendments is to the long-standing database that's been developed by, well, it used to be Soil Conservation Service, and now it's Natural Resources Conservation Service. The virtually the entire state of Oregon is mapped, not all of it. That information is updated as the agency, the federal agency, is able to find money to improve it. So some of the surveys are quite recent, within the last 5 years, and some of them are maybe 20 to 30 years old. They are not property specific. What you get from that database are soil mapping, and as you know, they do not follow property lines. So if we use that database, we do not get anything, any information about lots of parcels or ownership. That's the, I think, I can't remember what it was, you or someone else on the committee was saying a little while ago about how expensive it is to digitize that information. Perhaps it was the chair. That information, some counties have it, a few counties have it, and most counties do not. And I'm not sure we'll make much progress in accumulating that information. But we will be able to get the soil mapping units, that's probably the most important thing, from NRCS, and most of it's recent.
Well, Mr. Chair,
the capabilities of that land, if it's ag land, depends to a great extent on the ability on the water rights, the availability of water. And yet the Soil Conservation Service data does not show water rights or water availability, does it?
It does not.
I think the NRCS database does have indicators for soil type and some other basic topographical information. I think that's where that would be valuable. But it is an indicator and not a perfect system. I think all of us know that we use those maps. There is a letter that has been sent to the committee. I think there's copies that Mr. Rocco has. It's from thousands of times, and it speaks to the graphic of the issue that we brought up for the panel. We talked about the lack of a properly funded comprehensive database, including that basic information. And I think that is why Senator George's committee brought this bill to our attention, and that's why we see this amendment. Mr. Honeycutt, did you wish to offer public testimony on Hospital 2406?
Thank you, Chair. Ferry Oley, members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonian Action, speaking in support of 2406 with the Dash 6 Amendment. The Dash 6 Amendments represent a compromise between ourselves and the various interests, other interested parties in this bill. I wasn't here for Mr. Benner's testimony, but I assume that he talked about the lack of a comprehensive mapping system in Oregon where we get in and we talk about changes to in the land use system, but we don't have the data to any of us to really know what we're talking about when we're talking about what we want to change. This bill will go a long way to start that process, and hopefully in the next legislative sessions we can continue to add additional criteria to map. And get to the point where 3, 4, 5 sessions, legislative sessions down the road, we have a real comprehensive mapping system where we can go in and plug different criteria and get maps showing all kinds of different things that provide very valuable information for all of us. So with that, I think this is a great bill and would urge you to support.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hines? Thank you, Mr. Honeycutt.
Thank you.
Mr. Schellenberg, did you wish to address Hospital 2406?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I did. Don Schellenberg, representing Oregon Farm Bureau. Since this bill has our name on it, I thought we were duty-bound to support the bill. beyond that...
Having read the amendments...
Having heard the amendments, Mr. Chairman, we do support the bill. So I think this is a good idea. This kind of information is necessary. It will assist in making land use decisions of all kinds. If and when we get to secondary lines, it will assist with that. Otherwise, whatever we do, we need it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? Any no? Any other person here present wishing to testify to 2406?
Seeing none, we'll open the work session on 2406. We need to consider the B6 amendment.
B6.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair.
President Morgan.
I'll move the B6 amendment to House Bill 2406.
Hearing the motion, any questions on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Ma'am.
I'll move House Bill 2406 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
It does go to full ways and means. Representative Morgan moves 2406 as amended to the full ways and means of the due pass. Any questions on the motion? Seeing and hearing none, Mr. Rocker, would you call the roll?
President Jensen?
Aye.
President Messerly?
Aye.
President Keene?
Aye.
President Morgan?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Messerly? Senator Cruthers?
Aye.
Chair Ferriello?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. I would like to request President Morgan to carry on the House side. Senator George on the Senate side, and the Chair will carry to the full Ways and Means Committee. Close the work session. Close the public hearing on 2406. Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 1189. Reopen. Senator Messer, did you wish to address Senate Bill 1189 for any reason?
Fine.
Okay. And on Senate Bill 1189, colleagues, while you were testifying in the other room, we heard on 1189 the explanation of the A3 amendment, which is an extension of the time frame and also does a great deal to mitigate the fiscal impact on this. I'll ask Mr. Rocco to just very briefly recap, and then we're going to go into a work session on 1189.
Mr. Chair, committee members, basically the amendments would add a two-tier fee for the 9901 biennium for people participating in this process. It would the total fee would be $5,650, with $3,650 of that refundable if the action does not go to a hearing.
The Section 5 on the amendments would add a reporting requirement to the department so they would keep track of the costs and how those costs are reflected in the amount of fee revenue that they generate, with the intention that the fee would be adjusted to come closer to actual costs. And we also discussed adding another funds limitation to the amendment in the amount of $240,000 that would be from fee revenues anticipated to be collected from this process, and authorizing the agency to establish an earnest position, one limited duration position during the 9901 biennium.
Any questions? So now we're going to close the public hearing, open the work session on Senate Bill 1189-83. The chair moves a conceptual amendment that we increase the limitation for the agency to by $240,000 and authorize one full-time equivalent, which would be a limited duration position. Any questions on the conceptual amendment? And questions for the
that is in place of the general fund dollars that are listed in the okay.
Yes, sir. Good. Any other questions on the conceptual amendment? Hearing and seeing none. So order. The chair moves the dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 1189. Any questions on the motion? Hearing and seeing none. Any objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing them, so ordered. What's your pleasure on Senate Bill 1189? Anybody want to move that bill?
I move it to first be to full weight rules, I guess.
Senator Metzger moves Senate Bill 1189 as amended conceptually and with the A3 amendments to the full weight rules of the PCAS recommendation. Any questions on the motion? Hearing and seeing them, Mr. Rocco, will you call the roll?
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Mussolini?
Aye.
Representative Steens?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Senator Gore?
Aye.
Senator Medicare?
Aye.
Senator Corcoran?
Aye.
Chair Barrioli?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Motion passed. Thank you very much. Do I have a volunteer chair for the front line? That'd be great. Okay. Representative Morgan will carry on the House side. Chairman will carry and move the Ways and Means. It's already been to the Senate, but I believe it has to have concurrence.
Okay.
All right. Then the Senator Jackson's this is your solution to a series of issues. So would you carry for the Senate then? Then we have carriers. That would conclude our work session on Senate Bill 1189. Close the work session. Close the public hearing, and before we close out, Mr. Robert, do you have anything to give to the order?
Mr. Chair, we're bringing back the Department of Forestry budget tomorrow, and our intention is to get started right at 8 o'clock so that we can have that done by 8:30. So,
the chairman has to be out of the building by 8:30 tomorrow, and so we'll start promptly at 8 o'clock. And
something you said? Or?
It is. And actually what we're going to do is go right to work session. We'll have a very brief explanation of what it is that we're doing with the Department of Forestry budget. We are bringing the budget back. We're going to restore some of the dollars in the smoke management. We're going to restore some of the other program dollars. We're going to substitute, therefore, administrative and service efficiencies that we've finally gotten agreement on from the agency, and move the budget back out just as quickly as we can. I hope to have that done by about 8:25. And then from that point on, we'll go ahead and Senator Timms will be sitting in, and if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Senator George to go ahead and hear the public testimony on the Department of Environmental Quality budget. Any questions?
We're really going to miss you tomorrow, Mr. Chair.
Well, practice while I'm gone.
Okay. Are you going to practice tying your nooses and stuff? Is that where you're going to
be? No, actually, the rope concession, I believe, is yours.
I see.
Bring your rope. I'll practice the news. Any other business that can be
for probably going to it.
If not, we're in adjournment, and we start promptly tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.